Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Beis. We are holding on the bottom of daf.
Sideways.
I'm sideways. I don't know how to fix it. I'm sorry. I don't know how to fix it. What?
Yeah. We'll fix it. You talk, Rabbi.
Okay. We are holding on the bottom of daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the virtual Halacha program, which under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level whenever you can and wherever you are. Visit vhalacha.com for more information. Also by my uncle Jack and Aunt Jeanette Blumenkopf, in memory of the 30th yard site of Jeanette's father, Meyer Pick, Meyer Ben Yosef Alav Shalom, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. Also by Hindi and Mendy Yudin, in honor of the yard site of Mendy's grandfather, Rabbi Mendel Levine, Harav Menachem Mendel Ben Yechiel Michal Halevi, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So again, we are holding at the two dots on Laman Aleph and Beis about Shalasher V'Shalir. And Dach is about five lines before the end of the page, and the Gemara is going to first talk about a lulav shalah sherev shalir nidachas, a lulav that comes from Avodah Zarah, and then we're going to talk about different psulim of a lulav, if the lulav's leaves are bent or misshapen, and the lulav misshapen, and we're also going to, the Gemara is going to discuss how we know to identify which min is a lulav. How do I know that it's a palm branch, that's what a lulav refers to? The Gemara is going to talk about why it is that Sine Har HaBarzel are not a lulav, and then on Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the shear of a lulav. What is the minimum size of a lulav? And then the next min on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to move on from lulav to hadasim, and it's going to talk about all the different psulim of hadasim, and then the Gemara is going to identify what the min of a hadas is, and the Gemara is also going to introduce us to the concept, we'll see if we get there today, of a hadas shota, of a crazy hadas, which or an hadas that's off, and what that would require, what that's descriptive of. So let's begin again, daf lamed aleph and beis, at the two dots, five lines from the end of the page, shel asher v'shel ir anidachas. So the Mishnah said that if a lulav comes from an asherah tree or from near anidachas, it's pasul. Says Mar, really? V'shel asher a pasul? V'amar Rav a lulav shel avod zara li told him not to kasher, but didn't Rav tell us that while you're not allowed to take a lulav shel avod zara, if you do, it's going to be kasher? So I answered Mar, hacha b'asherah demosha askinan. No, when we say that an asherah is pasul, a lulav shel asherah is pasul, it's talking about the asherah trees that were around in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time after the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, where the Chumash tells us that Vashreim Tisrufun Be'esh, that you have to burn the asherah trees and therefore since it's the Kitusei Mechtash Yirei, since the lulav requires a shear, as we're going to see later on in today's daf, it's considered to be lacking in the shear, because since it's a Sreifa Kati Kalame Lisarv Kisarv Dami, it's as if it's already burnt, and therefore it's as if it's already broken down into ashes, and therefore does not have a proper shear of lulav. Dekanami Dekatani Dumya Derin Dachas Shemamina, and the raya that that's the reason Shalashera is possible is because in the same breath as saying a lulav Shalashera is possible, we say a lulav Shalier Hanidachas is possible. So by the Erni Dachas, it's clearly the Torah tells us that it's meant to be destroyed, it's meant to be burnt. So the same would be true by an Asherah Demosha. But if it's just Stam and Avodah Zarah lulav, then you could be yotzei the mitzvah with it. Frekt Rashi, but wait a second. Avodah Zarah is Yisurei Hana'a. So how can you be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav with something that's Asur Ba'ana'a? So Rashi, in Dibra Maskel, V'im Natal Kasha, writes, V'yaf al-gavdi Yisurei Hana'u, de mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu, kolomar ein kiyo mitzvah sana'as aguf, ela avodas eved l'rabo. That there is a principle called mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu, that when one fulfills a mitzvah with something that is not halachically defined as hana'a, because the function of a mitzvah is to be able to be oved the Ribbono Shel, the function of a mitzvah is not to get personal benefit from it. So when a person has a neder hana'a, for example, you're allowed from somebody, they're allowed to get a mitzvah from them, a kiyum mitzvah. Kiyum mitzvah is not considered to be hana'a. The Ritva adds that even though mishani ba'asiyas mitzvos, a person certainly enjoys doing mitzvos, and he's mekabel schar ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba, so you would think that that would be called hana'a, says the Ritva. It's still not called Yisrei hana'a unless you're nana with the gufo shel iser. But whenever the the hanas, not from the gufa isur. It's just that you're getting hana of a revach mimakom acher, that because I'm doing this mitzvah, Hashem is going to reward me with something else. That's not called hana. And that's what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches tells us, that if a person is noder hana from a mayan, that he's tovel in yimosa geshamim, then that's mutter. You're allowed to be tovel in yimosa geshamim during the winter time, because you're not getting any pleasure from going swimming in the freezing cold in the winter time. Even though you're no longer going to be tameh, so it's and now you're going to be allowed to eat truma, and you're going to be allowed to benefit from a lot of things you otherwise wouldn't you wouldn't be able to benefit from. I would think that that's all called hana. No, but that's hana mimakom acher. So that's not called hana. But if it's the summertime and it's boiling hot outside, and you're getting a lot of pleasure just from being able to cool your body off by going into the mayan, then that's going to be considered hana, because that's actually hana saguf. Now, in the issue of kitusei mechtash yurei, Rashi writes that the lom shel asherah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a mitzvah to burn them, and since they're omid l'sreif, it's kitusei mechtash yurei. Tosas Nivam Kol Kimel Beis writes that even though avodah zarah of Yisrael is dina begeniza and not b'sreifa, anything that requires geniza is also considered kitusei mechtash yurei. Says ein kitusei mechtash yurei gadol mizeh. So apparently the way Tosas understands is that it's not the that we view it physically as if it's chopped up, it's the inaccessibility, that that the fact that that it's something that's completely inaccessible to us because it's going to be burnt, or it's going to be put away, it's going to be something that's not going to be accessible, that's what makes it kitusei mechtash shirei. The Ritva points out that the psul kitusei mechtash shirei seems to assume, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that kol amid lisarif kisarif dami, meaning that's a machlokas you have in Shas. Whenever you say that something is destined to meet a certain end, do we view it as if it's already there? Do we say kala omed li is kir? So that's what the Ritva writes, that this seems, that this concept of kitusim ekleshiri seems to rely on kala omed li is kir. So says Tosos in the Sechas Sota on Daf Chafei and Beis, not so, that even the Chachamim are moda kitusim ekleshiri, it's in Israel no. So it's like after the Arabi Alma, it doesn't have a proper shir. It's not part of the broader discussion of whether that which is omed to be burnt is considered as if it's already burnt. Interestingly, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos writes that the reason you can't use the lulav shel asherah shel erev dachas is because mitzvah haba b'aveira, and nothing to do with kitusei mechtash yurei. So the Magen Mishnah in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Lulav says the Rambam must have had a different girsa than the Gemara, because there's no other explanation. You know, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says very clearly that it's not about mitzvah haba b'aveira, doesn't address that, that it's about kitusei mechtash yurei. So back in the Gemara now, Niktam Rosh, so we said that if the top of the lulav is chopped off, it's going to be pasul. Amravuna lo shanu al niktam. That's only if it's cut off. Avol nistak, but if it's cracked, then kosher. V'nistak kosher? Is that true? If it's cracked at the top, it's kosher? V'atanya, but doesn't the Braisa tell us? It's going to tell us a whole bunch of dinim about lulav, but one of them is going to be about nistak, and that's going to be the one that matters as far as the question is concerned, that a lulav that's kafuf, that's bent over, that's cut, there's a question what bent over means. A big discussion in the Rishonim. How bent over is bent over? Which part of it is bent over? There's a discussion about a knepel at the top of a lulav. Is that something that's better or worse, right? So on the one hand, it's better because you know that the leaves are held together really tightly. On the other hand, maybe that sounds a little bit like it's kafuf. So some are mahadir dafka to have that way, others are mahadir dafka not to have that way. So anyway, so kavutz, saduk, akum, doma lemagel, pasul. If it's any of these things, kavutz that it has, like it's a thorny, or it's saduk, and that's the part that we're focused on right now, that it's nistak, that it's cracked at the top, or it's akum doma lemagel, it's bent over like a magel, which is an instrument that's shaped in a circle, so then it's going to be pasul. Charus pasul, doma lecharus kasher. If it's charus, it becomes hardened, then it's going to be pasul, but it's just starting to harden, but it's not fully hardened yet, like a piece of wood, then it's going to be kasher. That's the brisa. Now, the only word in the brisa that we're focused on right now is the word saduk, that we say in this brisa, that if it's saduk, it's pasul. But we just made a diuk from our Mishnah, that nikta, Rav Huna made a diuk from the Mishnah, that only if it's niktam rosho, it's pasul. But if it's nistak rosho, it's kasher. So which is it? Is nistak kasher, or is nistak pasul? So I'm Rav Papa, da'avid ki'imnik. It depends how split the top of the lulav is. If it's just split a little bit, so then it's kosher. But if it's avid kimnik, that it's facing in opposite directions, the tops of the leaves are facing in opposite directions like a V, then it's going to be pasul. Akum doma lemagul. Once we mention this brisa, let's go through some of the other things that the brisa said are problematic. So we said that if it's akum doma lemagul, that it's pasul. If it's so bent that it's like a semicircle, then it's going to be pasul. Sometimes, you know, people are looking to make sure they don't have a lulav that's akum doma lemagul. You know, they're pointing it out like a gun. You know, to see that it's exactly straight. So it's been pointed out that's not akum doma. If it were akum doma lemagul, it wouldn't fit in the box, right? Meaning the boxes are right. Akum doma lemagul is that it's like a half a circle. So that's not you're never going to find a lulav that's akum doma lemagul. So akum doma lemagul amar rava lo amar el lefanav, and that's only a problem if it's bent over forward. Aval yachrav briyasehu, but if it's bent over backwards, then that's considered to be its normal way of growing. Amar rav nachmul studin kilafanav dami. If it's bent toward the sides, then that's the same as being kilafanav, as being in the front. V'armilo, but others say that no, kiliachrav dami, that's the same as being kiliachrav, that's the same as being bent over toward the back. V'amar Rava, hai lulav desalik b'chad hutza balmumu pasul, that if you have the lulav that all the leaves come out on one side, so that lulav is considered to be a balmum, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Rashi explains that that's what it means, that all of its leaves grow on one side. The Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Lulav explains that the derech of a lulav is that it's that the leaves grow out in pairs of two, and they're attached at the top. And by this lulav, the olam are not mechubar from mitchilas priyasam echad lechaveru. They're not connected one to the other. So the Rambam seems to understand a little bit differently than Rashi. But let's say like Rashi, that if, let's say it's lopsided, because all of the extra, you have the shidra, and then instead of leaves growing out on both sides of the shidra, all the leaves are only on one side. So that's salik b'chad hutza, that's considered a balmum and it's pasul. We then said nifritzu alav. The Mishnah then spoke about a lulav whose leaves were nifrats. So amrav papa, so Rav Papa explains, what does that mean? The Mishnah spoke about nifritzu alav, nifridu alav. What do these things mean? So amrav papa, nifritzu da'avik kichufya, that it's shaped like a broom. Nifridu de'ifra defrude. And nifridu means that it's spread out, that the leaves are spread out. Rashi explains, Rashaya nifradon ka'anfei dekel ve'in mitzumtzamin ha'shidra. They're not straight and narrow together with the shidra. Avul mimatein mechubarim, but they're attached to the shidra, to the spine of the lulav at the bottom, but then they just shoot out in different directions. Bayrav papa nechluka tiyomes mahu. What if the tiyomes is split? The middle leaf and that comes out at the top of the shidra, what if that's split? So tashma da'amar, and they change it on the side from Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Masson. Da'amar Rabbi Masson, Rabbi Shubban Levi, nitla tiyomes pasul. If the tiyomes is removed, it's pasul. So it says Mara, so my love, who had the nechluka. So if you're going to tell me the tiyomes is removed, it's pasul. So probably the same is true if it's split. Says Mara, lo, nitla shayni, da chasulei. No, if the tiyomes is taken, is removed, that's much worse, because then the lulav is going to be chaser, and that's why it's going to be problematic. But maybe if it's just split, it's going to be kasher. Ikeda amri am Rabbi Masan, am Rabbi Shulman Levi, nechla katiyomes, nasa kemisha nitla tiyomes apostle. But another version says, that Rabbi Masan says, the name Rabbi Yochanan, that when it's split, it's as if it's removed, and therefore it's going to be apostle. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So it says in Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tafron, Kapos Tamarim, Kapos Imayaparud Yichavtenu. Kapos Tamarim means that the Torah is telling us that if it's spread apart, you have to bind it together. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Maidai Kapos Tamarim Du Lavahu, Ema Charusa. How do I know what the definition, the identity of the lulav? Yes, the Torah says Kapos Tamarim, but maybe what we're talking about is a Charusa plant. It's the Torah is referring to some sort of hardened branch. And Rashi explains it's a palm tree branch that's hardened for 2 or 3 years. So many stems off the central one branch off from the central branch and have hardened and point in different directions. So maybe that's what we're talking about. It says, no, be'inun kafus v'leka. You know, we require the lulav to be tied together, and that would be impossible in a hardened branch. You would try, if it's hardened and the leaves are facing in different directions, you would try to tie it together, it would crack it would split apart, so you can't have kafus. Ve'ema ufsa, so says Gemara, okay, but maybe the pasuk is referring to a log from the trunk of the palm tree. It would be a lot harder to do the mitzvah of lulav in that way. It would be much heavier. Those plastic bags wouldn't work. But maybe that's what it means. So kafus mechal di ikaparud vay kafus vamid liolam. No, kafus means that it's at risk of starting to spread. A log doesn't spread. There's nothing to spread off of its central point, and therefore it can't be referring to that. Ve'ima kufra, maybe it's referring to a palm shoot, which is a branch that's 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it could still be bent back and tied to it. So don't, you know, the answer we gave before, that there's no way to tie it. No, the stems coming off of it, you could still tie it together. So now this, we know that the Torah's ways are pleasant, and these palm shoots are very thorny, and it would be very painful to hold it in your hand, and therefore we assume that that's not what it's referring to. So to what extent do we apply that? We could just say that whenever a mitzvah is unpleasant, the ways of Hashem are pleasant, so it must be that we don't have to do the mitzvah. If something, I'm traveling and there's no kosher food available, so what, I'm going to have to, you know, buy a bag of potato chips or something and eat that for dinner? No, I should be able to eat at the local McDonald's. So obviously that's ridiculous. We don't say that. Now, is an indicator that whenever we're not sure, and the Torah could have meant A or B, and A is pleasant and B is not, so that's an indicator that that's what the Torah actually meant. It's not when we know what the Torah means, and there's no doubt as to what the Isser is or what the mitzvah is, so we don't apply Drecha Darchi Noam to just say whatever seems most pleasant to me must be, you know, is what I'm supposed to do. So sometimes, you know, it's not always easy to observe Torah and mitzvahs, but when you're not sure which one the Torah meant, so that points in points you in the direction that the Torah meant A and not B, that the Torah meant that which is easier to hold and not that which is more challenging to hold. Amalei Rav Tosfot Ravina Ve'ema Tarti Kafi D'Tamri. Maybe it means two branches of a tamar. How do I know I only take lulav, one lulav? Maybe it should be two lulavim. No, kapasksiv. Even though it's pronounced kapos tamarim, it's spelled without the vav, and therefore we darshan that it should only be one. Tosfos points out in Dibra Maskel Kapas that even if you hold Yeshem Lemikra, it means that you follow the tsura of the Kriya, the Kapas, the, which would mean that you should say you go with the Kriya, not with the way that it's spelled out, not with the Masoris, the way that it's spelled. So, and the way that we read it is Kapos. So how's the Gemara Darshaning over here? Shouldn't this be subject to the discussion? Where was it we had back on Davav? Well, you know, we had Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemasaris. Remember, we had the discussion, Sukkas, Sukkas, Sukkos, or is it Sukkos, Sukkos, Sukkos? How many walls? Is it 2 plus a Tevach? Is it 3 plus a Tevach? So, shouldn't this be subject to the same machlokas? So Tos says, no, by kapas, everyone is moda that we darshan the mesores, which is the way it's written, but it's, he says, the Tosa says, tzarech l'zatam, we need some sort of reason as to why that's the case, but that apparently is the case, that this is not subject to that machlokas. In Maseches Pesachim, on Daf Lamed Vav, Tosas explains a little more, that since this pasuk says that you have to take a pre-Eitz Hadar, and a pre-Eitz Hadar sounds like it's one, so we darshan the mesores, the kuli alma, that kapos tamarim, that it says in the pasuk, means one as well, meaning that since it's not talking about a lulav alone, it's talking about taking together with a pre-Eitz Hadar, and pre-Eitz Hadar is clearly one, therefore it makes sense that the lulav should also be only one lulav. So ve'ema chada, but maybe it means not just one lulav, but one leaf of a lulav. No, lahu kaf karive. That would be called kaf. That would not be called kapas or kapos. And therefore, we know that it's got to be this lulav with a lot of leaves branching off of it. But it only has to be one lulav. Tzinei ar barzel ksheira. We then said that tzinei ar barzel are kosher to use for lulav. Amra by loshanu l'sharosh shelzeh magil etzadi kar shelzeh. Tzinei ar barzel are lulav with very short leaves. So Abaye comments, that's only, the leaves can be short, but not so short that leaves the spine uncovered. It's got to be at least the top of one leaf reaches the bottom of where the next leaf starts. If the top of one leaf is not going to reach to the bottom of the next leaf, then it's going to be puzzle. Tani nami achid, Sinei Arbazel psula. That Sinei Arbazel, the Brisa tells us, are pasul. Ay, what do you mean it's pasul? Va'anantan tanan ksheira. The Mishnah said it's kosher. El Shemamina, Kabai, Shemamina. It must be that Abai is correct. That Sinei Arbazel is dependent on whether the top of one leaf reaches to the bottom of the next leaf, and that's going to determine whether it's kosher or not. So v'ika derami le mirma. Some have the same conversation, but it's phrased as a stira, and it's and Abaye comes to answer the stira. That our Mishnah says sinei arbazel kosher. Iva tanya psula. That our Mishnah says sinei arbazel kosher. But what do we do about the brisa? The brisa says that sinei arbazel are pasul. Says Gemara, Abaye lo kasha. Kan shorosh zeh magil tzadik karosh zeh. Kan shorosh zeh magil tzadik karosh zeh. So Abaye answers that question by saying that it all depends on whether Rosh Hashanah is Magil Itzad Ikaro Shalzah, and whether the top of one leaf reaches to the bottom of the next leaf. Amram Meryon Amram Shub and Levi Va'ami La Tani Rabba Bar Mari Mishum Rabbi Yochum and Zakai. Shtei Tmaros Yesh Begai Ben Hanam Va'ola Asher Mivinein V'zeo Shishin Yitzin Arbarzal Ksheros. That there are two date palms that are growing in a particular valley somewhere, and there's smoke that comes out from between them, and that's what we're talking about, the Tzinei Arbarzel, that those types of palm trees produce those kinds of lulavim. V'zuhi Pischa Shel Gehenim. And if you happen to find that location, you have located the Pischa Shel Gehenim, and that's why the smoke is coming out from in between these trees. Okay, whatever that means. Lulav Sheyesh Bo Shlosha Tfachim. If you have a lulav that is three tfachim, the Mishnah said, then it's going to be kosher. If it's three tvachim, in order to be to shake it, it's kosher. So I'm Rabbi Domer Shmuel. Shir hadas va'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a kidei she'lulav yotzim min hadas tefach. That the hadasim and the aravos only need to be three tvachim, but the lulav, in fact, needs to be four tvachim. The lulav has to protrude one tefach above the hadasim and the aravos. Rabbi Parnach, Rabbi Yochanan, shidro shel lulav tzarech sheyetze min hadas tefach. Not just the lulav protruding above the hadas by a tefach, the spine of the lulav has to be one tefach above the hadasim. If you look at Tosfos, shidro shel lulav, braisa perikam apeles, misayele Rabbi Parnach. That there's a brisa that sounds much more like Rabbi Baruch, that it's the shidra of the lulav. Why? What does the brisa say? Tani Yoshaya Zi'ira Demin Chaviraya Chamisha Shiuran Tefach. That there are five things where the shear is going to be a tefach. V'kachashiv, and on the list of five things that the shear is a tefach, shidra shalulav is the shidra of a lulav, is the spine of a lulav. So how are you going to respond? How could you defend that? How's Rabbi Domer Shmuel going to defend himself? Rabbi Domer Shmuel said, no, the whole lulav only needs to stick out a tefach. Shmuel lo chayish to lo misniya be Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Oshia. Shmuel says, now a brisa that's learned from Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Oshia, such a brisa I have to answer to. A brisa that comes from some other base medrash, we don't know how authoritative these other brisas are, and therefore I don't have to answer to such a brisa. But that brisa in Echinami supports the sheet of Rabbi Parnach, that it's not only the leaves of the lulav that have to protrude a tefach above the adasim and the aravos, but it's the shidra of the lulav that it has to protrude one tefach above. Tani, lulav sheish bo gimel tefachim kedei l'nanea bo kasher. That the Mishnah says, Tanan, the Mishnah said that a lulav that has three tefachim in order to shake it, kedei l'nanea bo, is going to be kasher. So isn't this a raya that it only needs to be three tefachim and not four tefachim? How can we say whichever shita, whether you hold like the Chum or Rabbi Parnach, they both hold it's got to be four tefachim. It's just a question of what needs to be four tefachim, just the shidra or the leaves as well. But the Mishnah says only three tefachim. Says the Gemara, Ema u kedei l'nanea bo kasher. The Mishnah doesn't mean three tefachim, and that's it. What the Mishnah means to say is the lulav needs to be three tefachim plus a little more kedei l'nanea bo, that the leaves should be able to shake, and that means an extra tefach. What does it mean, an extra tefach? An extra tefach of spine or an extra tefach of leaves? So mark it this way. Each one will interpret the Mishnah however they prefer to interpret it. One the Chum will say that the entirety of the lulav only needs to have one extra tefach, where Parnach will say that the shidra of the lulav needs to have one extra Tefach. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes, Va'amar Gimel Tvachim Kedei L'Naneh Osam, Rotzabo U Kedei L'Naneh, Inyano Kedei Shiyach Zenu B'yado V'Naneh V'hu Shir Tefach. The Rambam seems to describe this extra Tefach is not on the top. The extra Tefach is because you need to hold the Lulav. So you're holding it by that Tefach. So that gives you the ability to be Minaneh. So Sfasema says that the protrusion of the Tefach has to be beneath the Hadassim and the Aravos, according to the Rambam. So the length has to be three Tefachim above where you hold on to it. So Sfasema says, and it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan is not really arguing on Shmuel, because Rabbi Yochanan says you need a Tefach of the Shidra Milamata, and Shmuel is molded to that. So how do you know that Rabbi Yochanan, that you need the Shidra itself has to be four Tefachim? Meaning, but that seems to be at least how the Rambam understands it. So Tashma says, well, let's bring a raya. Shir hadas va'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. That hadas and arava only need to be three tefachim, but a lulav four tefachim. My lav bahadi alin. Doesn't that seem to tell you that it's got to be four tefachim in total, including the leaves, not just the shidra? So says more lo levad me'alin. No, it means not with the leaves. Just the shidra of the lulav needs to be four tefachim. Gufa, going back to that comment. Shir hadas va'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. That a hadas and arava three tefachim and a lulav four tefachim. Rabbi Tarfon Omer ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. That we're assessing based on an ama that's five tefachim. Remember we had earlier in the Masechta also with the difference between ama bas chamisha and ama bas shisha tefachim. We had back on Daf Hey when we were trying to figure out how we know the height of the walls of the sukkah is supposed to be 10 tefachim. So we thought to learn from the combination of the aron v'kapores that the aron is 9 tefachim high and the kapores is adds an extra tefach, so that's 10 tefachim, and it's called the schach, so that's how I know that it's got to be 10 tefachim. But then the Gemara said, that only works if you assume that when we identify, that when the Torah says that the height of the Aron is 1.5 amos, it's talking about an amabas shisha tefachim. So then, 1.5 of that is 9 tefachim, then the kaporis is an extra tefach, because we learned from the miskeres, we said back then, so the kaporis is an extra tefach, but if it's an amabas chamisha tefachim, the whole math doesn't work out, right? Because 1.5 amos high in an amabas chamisha tefachim is obviously going to be a lot less. So the Gemara is saying that the shear of hadas arav is shlosha, lulav is arba'a. So Rabbi Tarfon disagrees and says that a hadas and arava are measured by amabas chamisha tefachim. So the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Tarfon means that the actual length of a hadas and arava is that it's got to be five tefachim. So amar rava surely marry the Rabbi Tarfon. Hashem should forgive Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon needs to ask Mechila for saying such a thing. Because Hashta Avo Shlosha Lo Mashkechinan, you can't even find three Tefachim of a Hadas. Pas Chamisha Mibai, you're going to find a five Tefach Hadas? Good luck! People aren't even able to find a Hadas that has three leaves coming out of each spot that goes all the way up three Tefachim. You're never going to find one that goes all the way up five Tefachim. So Hashem should forgive Rabbi Tarfon, he should ask Mechila. So Rabbi Tarfon was long gone by the time that Rava was saying this. Rava was an Amora. Rabbi Tarfon was a Tana. In fact, some of the poskim discuss, are you allowed to say Sharlei Murray about Gadol Adar, or about someone, you know, can I say about, can a rabbi today say about, or a Gadol even today, say about Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Sharlei Murray, is that considered disrespectful? So they bring a raya from this Gemara, that the Amoraim were allowed to say about the Tanaim, Sharlei Murray, that apparently it's not considered disrespectful. Maybe they were really saying that, I hope Hashem gives him a mechila. They were sincerely praying that they should have mechila for saying such a thing. So Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi came and he said, no, you misunderstood Rabbi Tarfon. Ama bas shisha tefachim asei osa bas chamisha. Where you could break up an ama into six tefachim, take the length of six tefachim and divide that into five larger tefachim. So each tefach of the ama is going to be divided into, I mean, you take an ama that's six tefachim long and divide it into five parts. And therefore, each of your new tefachim are a little bit bigger than a regular tefach. It's 1.2 tefachim. So when we do, that's all Rabbi Tarfon meant to say, that if you have five extra large tvachim, same and shlosh lahadas. Three of those is the size of a hadas. So all he's doing is saying a hadas isn't three tvachim, it's 3.6 tvachim. Because we're just saying it when he says ba'amabas chamisha tvachim, he's saying that I agree it's three tvachim, but it's three tvachim with different size tvachim, not tvachim benanim, but larger tvachim. Vashar lululav, and the fourth tvach that you need for the lulav to be higher than the hadas, that's also not a tvach beni, that's a tvach gadol. So kamala havaluhu, how tall is the hadas now? Tlasa utlasa chumshi, it's 3 3/5, right? It's 3.6 tvachim. That's the size of that. That's all Rabbi Tarfon meant to say. And so Rabbi Tarfon, yes, he's being machmir, but not extremely machmir. He's not saying it needs to be 5 tvachim long. He's saying 3.6. So that you don't have to say shari le mari about. So it says Marakasha d'Shmuel d'Shmuel that we have a stira within Shmuel over here, because hacha amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel shir hadas v'arava shlosha. Over here Shmuel says that the shir of a hadas and arava is 3 tvachim, and he doesn't say extra large tvachim. It sounds like regular tvachim. V'hasam amar Rabbi Domer Shmuel alach Rabbi Tarfon, but Rabbi Domer Shmuel says that alach follows Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon requires at the very least that they be larger tvachim, which would equal 3.6 tvachim. So says Gemara, lo duck. Shmuel wasn't being so precise when he said that it's got to be 3 tvachim. Eina chinami, he meant 3 larger tvachim, but he just said the words 3 tvachim. He just wasn't being so precise in his language. So really, emar darmina lo duck l'chumra. When do we say that someone is allowed to be imprecise in the way that they express a shir? That's when they're being more machmir, so they're going to say something that's not exactly precise. And there's a little extra machmir. But lakula mi armina lo duck? Would you ever say lo duck when something is lakula? Would you ever be imprecise and risk people not being yotzei the mitzvah? Because people are going to go out and they're going to buy adasim that are 3 tvachim long, and they're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah because you called the 3 tvachim. This we also had earlier. Remember, we had back on Daf Ches that Rabbi Yochanan spoke about a round sukkah, and he said that it's got to be that 24 people could fit around the round sukkah. So at first the Gemara took that very literally, but that turned out not to be exactly what he meant. So at some point the Gemara thought that really, really a sukkah needs to be 18 amos around the circle, and he really needs to be 16.8, and he said 16. So low duck, so he wasn't so careful. Well, not so careful. What do you mean? Everyone's going to get the wrong size of a sukkah. They're going to have a sukkah that's too small. They're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah. So till the Gemara came up with a way where no, he really said 18 and it needs to be 16.8. So that's low duck. You know, that's where he was being imprecise. But the Gemara made it very clear that if you're going to be imprecise, you have to be imprecise on the side of caution. So you have to be more careful. So Ravin explained the Rabbi Tarfon that you take 5 tvachim of a regular amma, that's 6 tvachim, and divide those 5 tvachim into 6 smaller tvachim. Same in shlosh al hadas, and that's the 3 tvachim of a hadas. Meaning, Rabbi Tarfon meant to say in the opposite direction. Not that you take a 6 tefach amma and divide that into 5 pieces, and each of those are your new enlarged tefachim. No, take a 6 tefach amma, only take 5 of those tefachim, so take 5 tefachim of space, divide 5 tefachim into 6 even parts. If you divide 5 tefachim into 6 even parts, your new tefach, your new 6 even parts, are smaller than a tefach. And that's what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. You only need 3 of those. Vashar lululav. And the 4th tefach for the lulav to protrude above the adasim aravos is also with not a regular tefach. It's also with this miniature tefach. So kamir havilu, what would the length of the hadas and aravah need to be according to Rabbi Tarfon? Treyu palga would only need to be 2.5 normal tefachim. Because 3 of the 6 tefachim that were made from the chamisha tefachim benonim are half of the chamisha, so that's 2.5 tefachim. So says Gemara, sof kasha to Shmuel and Shmuel. But in the end of the day, Shmuel is still being sosur himself, because over here Shmuel said that you need 3 tefachim. Now we're saying that according to Shmuel, you really only need 2.5 tefachim. Says Gemara, lo dak. Okay, he was being imprecise when he said you need 3 regular tefachim, and that's not a problem, because v'hainu lucham lo dak. Because if really Rabbi Tarfon only said you need 2.5 tvachim, and Shmuel is saying that you need 3 tvachim. So that's low duck. So that's what Shmuel is being extra machmir. If everyone goes out and gets a three tafachadas, no one is going to lose out. If someone wants to do a little extra research and discover that what he meant by three tefachim is really two and a half, and he was rounding up, okay, so they'll be yotzei the mitzvah. They'll have an easier time finding a hadas. But that's luchumer low duck. Tam Rav Nachman Shmuel halach Rabbi Tarfon, because Rav Nachman Shmuel says that in fact we paskin like the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. So that's why it's not a stira in Shmuel. Okay, we're out of time. This is Rosh Chodesh, but Bez Hashem will pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Lam Beis Am Beis tomorrow about Hadas. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you, Alicia, for your phone.